Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I spoke on today's about grey areas and Samson's excuse. I spoke on Samson some time ago, but when I started reading on Samson this time, about a month ago, I thought, oh, this will be a breeze. But the Lord's led me into some deeper insights into Samson and my life, and today's more of a testimony than anything on what the Lord's revealed to me through His Word, and particularly the book of Samson, the story of Samson. And so before we begin, we'll pray. Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can get together today and get into your Word and fellowship. And we thank you for Peter this morning on Sabbath school, Father God. And yes, Lord, we just pray that what I've got to say today is from you, and you're speaking through my life, Father. And may the revelations that you've brought to me and my testimony touch somebody somewhere. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. When I started reading Samson again, I started seeing a lot of insights into his life and what God called him for. And years ago, you look at Samson and you think, oh, he was a mighty man of God. He did mighty works for God. But I beg to differ on that. I find him, he was a weak man. He was disobedient, and he followed a lot of what he wanted to see rather than through the eyes of God. And that sort of related to my life quite a lot. He played around in grey areas, and he wanted to draw the line wherever he wanted to. You see, we all tend to draw the lines, and I don't know if anyone listens to Neil Mitchell on the radio. He's telling him because there's nothing else to listen to, and I'm at work in the tractor that I listen to him. And the things that people ring in about, be it about gay marriage or drugs or pornography or whatever the case may be, everybody's got their own opinion. And everybody's got their own lines. And that doesn't stop with Christians either. We tend to think we can push the line or the boundary to wherever we want to. Years ago, at another church, my in-laws had quite a falling out with the church because some people within the church thought that the ends justified the means. And they put a line way past where God had his line. And they used gossip and rumor mongering and false befriending to try and bring someone to God. And when they got her in the church and they got her up and said the magic words, you know, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, you know, everyone's saved, hey, hallelujah. That lasted for about a week and she never returned, and albeit the family was destroyed all through these two women that thought they could move the boundaries. Another one was not long ago. I was at a campfire and just standing there talking to a few men, and one said, you know, I let my underage kids drink. I said, what do you mean you let them drink? He goes, well, he said, at least I know where they are and I'm teaching them respect and responsibility. And I thought, well, how can we be teaching someone respect and responsibility when we're teaching them to break the law? You know, and that's just another form of moving the line. Where do we stop moving the line? And I said to him then, I said, well, where do you stop moving the line? You know, I said, what if your kids, you're going to let them smoke drugs? You're going to let them take ice? You're going to let them do this? And he said, oh, no. I says, well, why have you moved the line? He says, well, where do you have the line? I says, I don't. I said, years ago, I decided that I cannot keep moving the line because we keep stepping over it. And I said to the Lord, I said, well, where is the line? And I found it, and it's at the cross. And see, before, we think, okay, well, what is a line? And before the cross, Joshua went over and crossed into the promised land. He crossed over the River Jordan. And then the Lord said, now you're going to go out and you're going to kill all the people, take none of their spoils, kill all the animals, and that's your promised land. And we think, wow, that's pretty heavy. Is that what we do now? Do we go and kill anybody that's not Christian? You know, and in the end, they didn't do it. So it polluted their way of life, their religion, I'm getting lost for words here, but since the line's been drawn at the cross, all the views have been changed. See, we've crossed the River Jordan into the promised land by being born again Christians, but that doesn't mean we go and kill people. It means all the things of this world that Joshua was supposed to have done away with, we've got to do away with. We can't go after the false idols. We don't go marrying outside of Christianity. Because all these things come in and they pollute. We start worshipping their gods. We start falling into their way of living. And before I was a Christian, I was quite a heavy drinker. And a smoker. And actually, Teresa and I was talking about this last night on the way home. Because I'm going over to a neighbour's place to play guitars tonight, and they're non-Christian and they're heavy drinkers. And Tree said, oh, well, you're going to have a beer over there, aren't you? And I said, well, yeah, probably. And I said, but then she started making me think about, you know, where am I going to cross the line? And it reminded me back when I was in Blaney. I brought this up at an earlier testimony when I realized my calling there, and that was to evangelize Blaney. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and, you know, taking away my addictions to tobacco and that I was able to go into the pubs and witness. And I could do that by not drinking alcohol. You see, Pastor Rob, who I went with, we'd just go up to the bar, sit there, he'd have a beer, but I'd only drink lemon squash. I was totally off alcohol, and through the help of the Lord, mind you, and it was no problem. I could sit there and drink lemon squash, and people would come up and go, what are you drinking? Vodka and lemon or something like this. And I go, no, just lemon squash. And then they'd do a heckle or something. And I says, no, that's fine. I says, you get drunk on alcohol and I get drunk on the Holy Spirit. And that'd open up a whole new, conversation to be able to witness to people. And that's when we've got to know if where we can cross the line or not. And this is where like Samson's excuse comes in. When I started concreting again, my boss was a very heavy drinker. Every afternoon, we'd all go back to the shed and they'd drink, but I'd just drink lemon squash. But as time went, obviously, I'd take a beer. And then one turned into two, and two turned into six, and six turned into 12. And it was where I went, where I should not have gone, because I did not have the strength to do it. And this is where Samson is. He's crossed many of his lines. If we look into, I'll get this open again. I can't work this thing. It keeps shutting off on me. It's funny that Peter brought up on that tree on the TV there, where it had a predestination sign. You know, because predestination to me is, you know, we are predestined to do things by God's foreknowledge. And it's only through the free will of our choices that God already knows what we're going to choose. So, and this is where Samson was, because at the beginning, God already knew what he wanted Samson to do. But he also knew that Samson was going to be a rebellious boy, and he was going to be sinning all the way through it. But, so in the beginning of Samson in 13:24-25, it says, you know, she had Samson, and the Holy Spirit already moved in him, was starting to move in him. And then you go on to chapter 14, and straight away you go from him being a child to he sees the woman he wants. And already he's crossed the line, because he's going after somebody that's not in his own tribe. And as a Nazarite, yeah, he's not to marry outside. And you know, we can tend to do that. But you can see how he's growing up as a child, and he's so rebellious that, yeah, and Sam, I'll just read this on Judges 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. So he's already decided, I'm going to marry. I've seen this woman, and he's not looking out of the eyes of God like he should be, like we should be. And he came up to his father, and he told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me for my wife. Now, he didn't ask him anything. He just told him. And so many kids today are getting into this rebellious attitude of where, you know, we're being told of things. And then his father and mother said unto him, you know, talks to him about, is there no women within our own tribes, you know? And then he just says, oh, go and get her for me, basically. So he's very rebellious. And I remember as a kid growing up being in the Lord, you know, since my salvation, that we tend to do that. You know, we can lose focus on where we are yeah, so he went down, but then he went down, and this is where the Lord was speaking to me about how did I interact with my own kids. You know, Samson in verse 5, then Samson went down, and his father and his mother Timnath, and came to the vineyards, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Now you think, oh yeah, well, why didn't his dad protect him? It's because he wasn't there. You know, in one sense, they're all heading down to the town, and then all of a sudden he's in this vineyard, which he's not supposed to be near because he's a Nazarite, not supposed to have anything to do with the vine or anything of the grape. And all of a sudden he's all by himself in this vineyard, and they were all at the beginning heading down to the town. And it sort of made me think, well, do we do this? You know, this is where the grey area started. It's, you know, I could sort of imagine it, that Samson and his mum and dad are walking down the road, and they can see the town down there, and the road heads all the way around this vineyard, and mum and dad start heading down, and Samson says, oh, why don't we just go this way? And they say, no, we can't. He says, we don't go through grey areas. He says, oh, but I'm going to go through this way. You know, and sometimes we do that with our kids. We think, okay, just go, but we're not going to head down there. You know, and so Samson takes a shortcut. And then straight away he's dealing with death. You know, he's not allowed to do particular things. Yeah, anyway, he tears this lion apart, and he goes in, and he does whatever he needs to do, and there shows him the mum and dad. But on his way back, He comes back across the line, and there's honey in the carcass. Now he's back by himself again. Mum and Dad aren't with him because he scoops up some of the honey and he takes it back, and he feeds it to him, and doesn't tell him where it came from. But sometimes we can look at what we've done wrong, and we can try to make it look sweet, and we can try to excuse it to ourselves. You know, and this is what Samson's done as a picture of, to me. Okay. And, because I know sometimes when I've sinned, you can always sort of make some sort of an excuse of why we've done it. And sometimes we'll, even without realizing it, try to do something or say something to someone to make us feel better for it. You know, and it takes it back to, let's say, a worldly situation, the gay situation. You know, I got someone at work who says, "Oh, I once was gay, but in 75 I became happy." Because prior to 75, which I remember as well, that people were gay. You know, we were happy. But the homosexual community has taken the word gay and, to try and excuse the sin in their life. Now, I'm not speaking against the people themselves, because we're to love the sinner but not the sin. And that was just an example of what we can do to try and make ourselves feel better for what we're doing. And that's just something that Samson was you know, showing me in his lifestyle, that our lifestyles are just getting too out of focus, if you want. Yeah, see, the grey areas and the excuses that we, I'm just going to wing this. it's something that, well, I was speaking to someone the other week, about Facebook. You know, a Christian can argue with me to the black and blue in the face, but as far as Teresa and I are concerned, we ban Facebook outright. We just don't accept it. You know, we can sit there and say, well, we can evangelize on Facebook, we can do this on Facebook. Well, all I got to say is get off your backsides and go out and speak to the people face to face. You know, because that's what the Lord has called us to do, get out in the highways and the byways. And Jesus wouldn't have sat there on the computer, or, you know, Jesus had the power to sit there and get in people's heads, but he didn't. He got up and he went face to face. And sometimes I think, you know, we appreciate the personal connection, you know, when we're in trouble and we need someone. You know, that a phone call's not enough. Where personal interaction is everything. And, you know, and because you look at, okay, we'll get on to Samson in chapter 15, where after he's done all these sort of things, he still goes back into his old ways, womanizing ways. You know, his first wife he's totally ignored and broken away and gone back into the town and is hanging around prostitutes. But God at the end of it still provides him with the water when he becomes thirsty. You know? And I think he realizes that God's done this. And we too can do that. We can get lost in what we're up to. We can go keep falling back into the world. Even though we know that, oh, the Lord just saved me. You know, thank you, Lord. Thank God for this. But then the next day we wake up and we just go back into it again. And then Samson gets tangled up with Delilah. What's he do? He gets so entangled with her that he forgets who he is. He forgets that he's supposed to be a man of God. And, you know, like me, we're supposed to be men of God, women of God, and doing God's work. But Samson, he even forgot where his anointing came from. Either he forgot it or he denied it. And I'm in the more inclined to think he's denied it. Therese said to me last night, why did Samson lie to Delilah when she asked, where did you get your strength from? And I said, oh, gee, I never really went in that deep. So I got the word out and I read into it and it came to me that he denied God three times. Just like Peter denied God three times. And even in the end, when he told them where his strength was, he says it was in his hair. The strength wasn't in his hair, because the strength always comes from God. And his final denial of where his strength was when they cut the hair and took his strength away from him, the Lord, the anointing, which was his strength, was from the Holy Spirit, where you can see it today, like, okay, when the first denial came and Samson said, well, it's in, oh, I've got to start my computer up again, where it's in, what did he say in the first go? Yeah, so it tied them up with the bowstrings. That's right, yeah. Anyway, and Delilah said, okay, well, I'll tie you up. And anyway, he fell asleep and tied him up with bowstrings, and then Samson, the Philistines are here. And he gets up and goes, boom. He says, oh, I broke the bowstrings, where are they, you know? And then the second one, please. Say again? I can't hear you, Therese.
Ropes.
And, you know, if you just tie me up in ropes, I'll become weak as men. So he falls asleep and ties him up with ropes of men. He says, Samson, the Philistines are here to get you. And he gets up and he smashes those ropes apart and he says, where are they, you know? And then the third time, what was the third one, huh? The locks of his hair, right? He falls asleep, cut the locks of his hair off, and she says, Samson, the Philistines are here to get you. Now, Samson didn't go, oh, I'm too weak, I've lost my anointing. No, he got up and he went to fight the Philistines. So, and we can do that. You know, we can lose. We can have a ministry, a gifting, that's a natural gifting, says, I'm going to take somebody in the world as an example, Guy Sebastian, okay? When he was a singer in Adelaide, he had a powerful anointing in his music ministry. Well, when he was with the church, when he denied God, which he did publicly, he won his X Factor or whatever it was called, left the church, and then one of his interviews, he said he was deceived by the church. He said, I was hidden. The world was hidden from me. The truth was hidden from me. And ever since then, he's gone out. He's made a lot of worldly records. A lot of songs are still relating to Christianity in a way. But his anointing's not there. He's working on his gifting now. And this is where Samson sort of went. I don't think Samson was a skinny, weak man. I think he was a strong man in his little own right. But his strength, his powerful strength, his anointing strength came from God. And when he stood up that third time to fight the Philistines, he stood up not knowing that his anointing was gone. It just wasn't there anymore. And that's how he was overtaken. And so when they took him and they bound them up and put him into the dungeons or wherever they put him. He was captive. He was captive of his own sins. And then they gouged his eyes out. Now, when they gouged his eyes out and he was in there, it doesn't say how long he was in there for. I know he's a judge for roughly 20 years, but after a while, his hair grew back and he was able to call back on God again. And when I saw that, after a while, his hair grew back and he was able to call back on God again, I don't think, because he got his strength back for the, even when he did his last final work for God, it was still because he wanted to avenge the Philistines for gouging his eyes out. You see? So even though God did, allowed him to do work, mighty works for God, it was in, it wasn't because of his sin, it was in spite of his sin, God could still work through us. But that's still no excuse to go, well, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. You know, because in the next instance, you know, we say, well, so does that mean we can go keep sinning? And that's God forbid. No, we can't. And, but when his hair grew back, I believe it was time that he was there, imprisoned in his own sin and in his own misery from what he has done in the past, that it's taken him a while to realize where his strength actually came from. And it wasn't through his hair, it was through God, and only through repentance did he get back to with a good enough relationship with God that God was able to use him to bring judgment on the Philistines for what the Philistines did to the people, not because they gouged his eyes out. And this is where it's led me to see where we can be in the same life as Samson at the end. Is, you know, we can go through our ministries with a God-given gift as a child before it becomes anointed. We can get into ministry, have an anointed ministry, but then because we lose focus on where God is, we can lose that anointing and just keep cruising in our ministry. But the problem with that is, it's like Samson when he lost his eyes, we can lose our vision. We can lose the vision that God's given us, and before we know it, the only thing we're doing is what we see, just like Samson did. He only did what was right in his own eyes. He only went after what his eyes lusted after. And it's not until we can get back and realize that the strength isn't in our own gifting, but it's in the anointing of God, and the power comes through God, that we can get back to it. And that's where the testimony of my grey areas have come to. It was a fairly deep and for me personally meaningful experience of the story of Samson. There was one which I'll mention right at the beginning when I was reading right at the beginning of Samson in chapter 13. It's basically where he's talking about, I'm just trying to find this little quote I made for myself. All right, here it is. Basically hung with that predestination bit, you know, that the Lord already knows what we're going to do, so we're predestined to do things, and it's not because he's created us primarily to go down that path, it's because he knows what decisions we're going to make, and so he uses that. And I just had a verse there from Isaiah 49:1. Listen to me, you coastlands, pay attention, you people from far away. The Lord called me from the womb while I was still in my mother's body. he pronounced my name. So he already knew us. And so that started me really thinking, and I thought, well, gee, I've got to get deeper in this. Might even be my next one, because I think I've already titled it Before I Was, He Called Me. Or the relationship Jesus had me before I was. That's what I think I'll work on that one. So that's about where I'll end it today. The relationship I had with Jesus before I was. And well, let's just get deep into that one. Yeah, I'll just pray on and end in on that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that I was able to hopefully have a meaningful discussion on the testimony that you've brought to me, Father God, through the story of Samson, Lord, and the grey areas and the excuses that we have to try and cross over into them, Father God. And we know that we can't go over in our own strength, but in your strength. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.